Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuf Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis at the bottom of the Amud, four lines from the bottom at the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues to discuss the Melach of Tzeda. Teaches us the Mishnah, Yoshev Echad Ala Pesach. If somebody sat down by the door of a house where there is an animal, V'loy Milohu, and he did not completely enclose the door, so the animal to get out, and then Yoshev Sheni, and then a second person sat down in Milua, and he filled up that door. So it's the second person who did the Melacha, and therefore the Halacha says, the Mishnah is that the Sheni, the second person who sits down, is Chayiv for the Melacha of Tzedem. Drushash asks a question. We learned earlier, he says, on Daf Tzadik Dalet Amud Beis, that if there's a kezayis and half of food, and somebody carried out a chatzi kezayis, he's chayiv, because he accomplished something. Because now there's only kezayis left of food in the home. And if that kezayis gets diminished even by a drop, it won't give off tumah, it won't get tumah, because you have to have a kezayis. So his activity accomplished something. And therefore, since his activity accomplished something, he's chayiv, even though he didn't carry out a whole sheer kezayis. So ask the Rishash, why in our Mishnah is the first person potter? Yes, indeed, points out the Rishash, he did not do a full-fledged Maisa Tzeda because he didn't completely capture the animal, but he accomplished something that it's going to be difficult for the animal to get out now because he's covering a good part of the door. So Rishash says that there's a difference between the melacha of tzeda and the melacha of oitzah. Somebody who's carrying something out has indeed carried something out. The entire issue is that he carried out the required amount to be chayiv for carrying on Shabbos. But he certainly carried. However, by tzeda, it is tzeda or it isn't tzeda. And as long as the animal could still get out, it's not considered a pidin, a maisa tzeda, and therefore, since al pidin, it's not considered a maisa tzeda, the person who does it is potter. Says the Mishnah, another din. Yoshev harishel al pesach melua. If the first person sat by the door, and he closed, blocked off the entire width of the doorway, so he did the melacha tzeda. Oba sheni v'yoshev tzeda, and now second person sits down, af al pi shomer harishel, and then the first person gets up, v'holachlan, he leaves, and now the second person is actually blocking the doorway. Harisha Chayiv, the first one is Chayiv, Sheni Potter, and the second one is Potter because he hasn't done anything because the animal was captured already before he was blocking the entire door. So the Tosfos Yontif asks, how is it possible for the first person to leave without causing the second person to stand up? If the second person gets up to let the first person leave, so now he, when he sits down again, is doing the Melechet Seder. So the Magen Avraham disagrees with the entire concept that the Tosfos Yontif is trying to say, and he says that even if the second person indeed had to get up to allow the first person to exit, he's allowed to sit down again, because he says the act of blocking a previously trapped animal is not considered trapping. Lemagvram says that if an animal or bird is enclosed in a house, you're allowed to open the door of the window of the house. As long as that's not your purpose to do a Maisa Tzeda, you're not Chayif Tzeda. The Tosfos Yontif himself obviously disagrees, and he says we look at the act, and if the act is an act of tzeda, you will be chayiv. So the Tosfos Yontif says that we're talking about a situation where the first person was sitting blocking the door, and the second person sat inside the house in front of him. So when the first person gets up, the first person can remain there without even needing to get up. The Rishash, however, explains differently. Rashash says that the Mishnah is referring to a situation where the doorway was wide enough to accommodate two people sitting side by side, but not wide enough to accommodate more than one deer. A deer is larger than a person. So when the first person sat down and blocked half the door, he has trapped the deer, because the deer is now too wide to escape through a doorway which is only halfway open. So teaches us the Mishnah that the second person is allowed to sit down in the doorway alongside the first person, closing the remaining gap because the animal is already trapped. And even if the first person leaves his place and walks away, the second person is permitted to remain there because the animal has already been considered trapped. So again, according to the Tosfos Yontov and the Rishash, the way to understand the Mishnah is we come up with situations where the second person is not doing an act of trapping, but he's also not getting up. According to the Magen Avraham, even if he needs to get up to let his friend out, that would not be considered, according to them, a situation of that you did trapping. You're just getting up to let your friend up. So there's an interesting halacha in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Hilchas Sukkah, Simen Tov Reish Lamed Sif Yud Beis, teaches us that somebody could make a sukkah by having somebody stand, and that person who's standing there becomes the sukkah. However, what about on Yontif? On Yontif, you're not allowed to make a sukkah. Could somebody stand there, and if he's just standing there, become the wall? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Uvat shlo yedash oise shahumat sham, the person who was told to stand there should not be told shebishvil mechitza humat sham, that he was asked to stand there to be a wall. So what's going to be the halacha? If somebody was standing by a wall, standing there already, in a permissible manner, can we ask a second person to stand next to the first person, in front of him or behind him, like we just explained from the Tosfos Yontif? And then when the first person goes away, the second person will automatically become a wall. What's pshat in the question? The pshat in the question is that here, the person who's standing there, it did not stand there to become a wall. When is the halacha that a person is not allowed to stand there with the purpose of becoming a wall? Is when he is indeed accomplishing something. But when this second person stood there, he didn't accomplish anything because the first person had already created the sukkah, had already made it into a wall in a permissible fashion, either because it was done before Yontif, either because he doesn't know that he was being used as a wall. It seems that in such a situation, based on what we learned in our Mishnah, we could be lenient. Because our Mishnah is teaching us that if you're not accomplishing anything with what you are doing, then it's not usur. And here, he's not accomplishing anything with what he's doing because the animal was trapped. Here too, it was already a kosher sukkah without him standing there. So therefore, his act of standing there is not considered a significant act. And since it's not considered a significant act, it's not considered that he did anything wrong. Says the Mishnah, Halama Zadoima, how do we understand the situation? Lenoila space or Lashamri, if somebody closes his home with the purpose that the house should be protected, the Nimtzit Tzvi Shamber Toichai, the same when there's a Tzvi in the house from Erev Shabbos, and a person wants to go away Shabbos, he's allowed to close the door. And the way the Rishonim explained the halacha, if you have a house in which a tzvi is caught because the door is locked, the door is closed, you may now lock that door because you're not really accomplishing it. You're not really doing a ma'aseh tzedakah. The animal's already caught. Here too, if you are sitting down by a door which is already blocked, you're not accomplishing anything and therefore you're allowed to do so. And the Chiddush as the Rishonim point out, is that even though I'm well aware that I'm sitting and blocking a door where there is a tzvi, it doesn't make a difference. And even if I'm adding a shmirah, I'm blocking the door more, as we explained according to the Rishash. It doesn't make a difference. If I'm not doing a ma'isa tzeda, it's mutter. Begins the Gemara. Amar of Abba, Amar of Chibar Ashi, Amar Rav. Nechnasot tzipa tachas knofof. If a bird came under my cape that I'm wearing on Shabbos and it can't get out, yoshem misham reshatachshech. I could sit there and I can remain with the bird under my cape, and it's not considered a ma'isa tzeda. And as the Ritva explains, I can't touch the bird on Shabbos because a bird on Shabbos is muksa. But on the other hand, one would perhaps say that I can't get up either because I should let the bird go because otherwise it looks like a ma'isa tzeda. Teaches us the Gemara that it's mutter. Maser of Nachman by Yitzchak, it says in our Mishnah, Yoshev Arishna Peschoy Melohu, if somebody sits by a door and he blocks the entire entrance, or Bo Hasheni V'Yoshev Tzidah, and the second person sits down next to him, Ap Yoshev Harishav Alechloy, even though the first person left, Harishin Chayev V'Sheni Potter. Now we learned throughout this Masechta that whenever the Gemara uses the words Potter, it means Potter Aval Osser. My love, doesn't it mean here as well, pata aval asur? So you see that even though what you're doing is not an actual ma'aseh tzeda, it's still asur midrabbanan. So why is a person allowed to stay there with the bird under his cape? Loi. Says the Gemara, that's not the way to understand our Mishnah. When our Mishnah says that the second person could sit there, what the Mishnah means to say is potter umutter. And says the Gemara, makes sense to explain the Mishnah that way. Midiktani Sefer, let's continue learning the Mishnah. It said, L'maza naza doima, l'noyel bayis l'shamrei. Somebody closes his home, he locks the door that was already closed. And the way we learned it, I'm locking a door that was already closed. That's 100% mutter, because it's not say that at all. Mechlal, so our Mishnah, even though it uses the words potter, it means potter and mutter, shma mina. Ikadamri, a different version, Amram Nachman Yitzchak, Afanan Namitanina. That indeed the way to, that our Mishnah is not a question, but our Mishnah is actually a raya. And our Mishnah says, Abish Harishin Holoch for Amad Loi, Harishin Chai Vesheni Potter, my love. So doesn't our Mishnah mean that it's potter and mutter? So just like the second person is allowed to sit there, so too as the person with the bird under his cape allowed to sit there. Says the Gemara, loy, pata aval asa. Maybe what our Mishnah means, that the second person is allowed to sit there, pata means only midaraisa, but midarabonin it's asa. Says the Gemara, you can't learn the Mishnah that way. Hamidik tani sefer, because if we look at the case that the Mishnah compared it to, halamaza doima l'noilas ba'ais l'shomroi, v'nimtzu tzvi shomroi b'toichoi, that Mechlal, the potter mutter. So we see that our Mishnah means not just potter of osur. Our Mishnah says means potter umutter. And therefore, the halacha is that one may actually remain there. And now comment Shmuel. Omer Shmuel, kol p'turei de Shabbos. Whenever we have different halachas in Shabbos where it says potter, so as we just said, it always means potter of osur. It typically means pata aval osur. However, there are three exceptions. Levar mahani tlas, except for three situations that the halach is potter mutter. What are those three situations? Chodaha, one is the case of our Mishnah, where the second person sits down next to the first person. Umamai, and says the Gemara, how do we know that it means potter mutter? Diktani sefer, lemaza doima, lenoil sabayis l'shamroi. If somebody closes the home to watch it, as we've explained, that's mutal chatchila. What's the other case? The other case is that hamapis mursa. If somebody has a pus bubble, he's allowed to open it up in Shabbos. But if kavanos alasas lepeh, if his intention is to make a full-fledged opening, chayiv. And as Tosfos taught us at the beginning of the Masechta on Daf Gimel, A door, by definition, has to be made for entrance and exit. So here we're indeed opening up this pus to get out the pus. But what's the entrance purpose here? So Tosfos answered that he wants air to be able to get in here. So therefore it's considered a door. Vim lahaitzi b'men aleichah. But if all he's interested is in getting out the pus, and he doesn't care if it immediately closes, potter, you potter. Umamai, and as we explained when we learned this at the beginning of the Masech, the potter means here potter or mutter, and it's following the opinion of Reb Shimon that holds a malach shen etzrich legufa is potter. Says the Gemara, umamai the potter mutter. How do we indeed know that that's the way to understand that halacha, that you're allowed to do it even l'chatchila? Because we learn in a Mishnah, says the Gemara, the Tanan, the Mishnah later in our Masechta, Daf Kuf Chav Beis, or Beis teaches us, Machat Shal Yad, you're allowed to take a needle, little by a koitz, you're allowed to take it out till you take out a thorn. The question is, how are you allowed to take out a thorn? Aren't you making an opening? The answer is that it's potter or mutter. It's a melachashe and a tzricha legufa. And it's so you're not looking to make a door. And you're not looking to make a door. And it's a tzar. And therefore it's completely mutter l'chatchila, even though the Mishnah used the word potter. The third place where the word potter is used in this Masechta, but it means potter mutter, it says at tzad nachsh b'shabbos, if somebody captures a snake on Shabbos, and your entire purpose is that it should just not bite you. It's not that you're capturing the snake because you want the snake. The halacha is potter. But if you're capturing for a refuah, so you want the snake, then you're chayiv. Ask the Gemara, Omai, how do we know that when you're not looking to capture the snake, it's mutter? The Tanan, the Mishnah, also on Daf Kuf Chof Aleph teaches us, Koifin Kara, we could put an earthenware keli ala nebi shalosh l'tachs b'kaira. In order, we're concerned that your candle shouldn't cause a fire in your house, you could put a plate over it. Of course, you're only allowed to do it in a way that it won't cause the candle to get extinguished. Now, here, we're not allowed to take, as we learned earlier in our Masecht on Daf Mem Gimel, you're not allowed to take en keli nittel el tzorich dova nittel. So how can we take a keli for a candle which is muksa? The answer is that since you're doing it because of a sakana, Chazal said that you're allowed to do it potter or mutter. Vatsoya, or you're allowed to take a keli to cover up the waste of chickens, that you don't want the cotton to get dirty. And you can't carry the tzoya itself because the tzoya is muksa. And as we learned, that a graf shel rei you're allowed to move on Shabbos, but a graf shel rei that you're allowed to move on Shabbos is only when you have on your table a graf shel rei. So the halach is that Chazal said you don't want to leave on your table a graf shel rei. So the halach is you can remove it from your table. But however, if this is found in a place which is not on your table, you don't have the het of graf shel rei. But if you're still concerned that your child shouldn't get dirty, you're allowed to move it. Well, akriv, you're allowed to move akriv shloi tishach. You're allowed to move the akriv that it shouldn't bite you, even though obviously the akriv is muksa. Still, if you're worried about the scorpion, obviously we're not dealing in a situation of sakonas nefashos, because then everything would be mutter, and there it says potter, it means potter umutter. Hadronloch ha'oirig, hadronloch ha'oirig, hadronloch ha'oirig. Begins the new parak of Shmoneh Shrotzim. We know that the Torah speaks about Shmoneh Shrotzim. The Shmoneh Shrotzim that the Torah discusses, that when they are dead, they give off tumah. We're going to read the words of the pasuk later in our shir. So says the Mishnah, Shmoneh Shrotzim Amurim b'Torah. When we speak about the Shmoneh Shrotzim that are mentioned in the Torah, Hatzodon, as somebody captures one of them on Shabbos, or Hachoyvel Behem, if somebody makes a wound on them, he's Chayiv. When one is Chayiv for making a Chavola and one of these Shmoneh Shrotzim, the reason is, the Malachi is, Rashi says, the first pshat, And that's the pshat the most Rishonim learn, that it's in the melacha of Netilas Neshama. Now, even though just by wounding it, it doesn't die, it's still considered Netilas Neshama, because when you cause a wound, when you cause a bruise, that is called Chavala. So in order to be over the Malacha Chavala, is that you have to have either blood escape coming out of the animal, or whatever you're wounding, or at least it should cause a black and blue mark. If, however, there is no skin on this animal, so then it doesn't cause a black and blue mark, and doesn't cause blood to escape. When you see a black and blue mark, when you have a bruise, it means that the blood has broken. Even if no blood leaves the actual body, it gets eliminated into the system, and therefore it's considered a maisa chavala. Of course, to be chayiv, you have to have an intention to make a chavala. That's way Rashi learns in the second pshat, first pshat. The second pshat that Rashi learns is that it's soveya. When you cause this bruise, it causes a black and blue mark, as we just said, or whatever type of color, whatever type of discoloration of the skin. And that's why it's considered an act. That's why you chayiv on Shabbos. The Mishnah also said that if you capture this one of the Shemoneh Shrotzim, you chayiv for tzeda. And the Malacha Tzeda happened in the Mishkan, where they captured the animals to make the different needs that they had for animal, and therefore you chayiv. But when we speak about the Malacha Tzeda, there's a very interesting halacha. To be chayiv for the Malacha of Tzeda, it has to be something which is b'minoi nitzad, something which people normally capture. That's why the halacha is, if you catch a fly, a mosquito, you're not technically over a deraisa, because these are not animals or insects that are b'minoi nitzad, that are people capture to keep. So the Avni Nezer, the Shalos HaTshuvos Avni Nezer, Simen Kuf Pei Tes, Oy Zayin, discusses why is there such a halacha by Dafka, by Tzeda, that it has to be b'minoi nitzad, that it's something which is normally caught. It should be that if you did Tzeda, you should be chayiv. It doesn't have to be b'minoi nitzad or not. So Avi Nezer makes a very important observation. He says, as we learn in our sugyas about the malachas of Shabbos, so a common denominator in almost all the malachas that we discuss is that a malacha is only when you do something constructive, where you change something. I take a food and I cook it. So till now I had a raw food and now it's cooked. Their own tzeda is unique. When you do tzeda, when you catch an animal, nothing changed in the animal. The animal is still the same animal that it was before you caught it. And therefore, that isn't what normally Hilcha Shabbos is all about. And therefore, he says, to be considered that you violated the Malach of Tzeda, it has to be something which is B'minoi Nitzit. There's an interesting question that I saw that the Paiskim discuss. What about if somebody, of course, I'm not recommending Chas Shom that this should ever be done. So let's say somebody, to punish a child, closes the child up in a room. Will that be considered a Maisa Tzeda? The Avni Nezer in Simen Kuf Chav Tes Sivkotn Chav Beis says that yes, that it's considered a Maisa Tzeda. However, I saw that the Sefer Yisuei the Yeshurim says that since a child is a human being, there is no such a thing of Tzeda on a human being, and therefore he says that it's mut. There's no issue of Tzeda. The question that comes up, for example, the Shalos HaTshuvos Michas Yitzchak, Chelik Yud, Simen Chav Zayin discusses it. Let's say somebody has in their bathroom a problem that they have insects in the toilet. And if you flush the toilet, you'll be doing a Maisa Tzeda. Is that Osir? So he says, again, since these are insects that are not B'minoi Nitzot, they're not the type of insects that are typically caught, and you're not doing a direct Maisa Tzeda, it's only a Groma, and it's also because of Kavod Abrius, you're doing it not because you need to clean the bathroom in a proper manner, that's why the Mekel. So again, Shemana Shratzim Hamurim B'Toyra, Hatzadon, if you capture them, or Achayva Behen, Yechayiv. Shash Gotzim Ramashim, but when we speak about the other Shkotzim, Hachayva Behem Potter, if you do Chavol on them, you're Potter, because they don't have skin, and therefore, they don't have skin, and if there's no blood that actually comes out from this animal, there is no problem of Chavolah. Vatsoidon, if you capture them, Litzoyrich, that you want the actual animal Chayiv. If Shloy Litzoyrich, but if you don't need him, just you're doing it that they shouldn't bother you, you're potter. It's a mlochash and a tzricha legufa. That's how Rashi learns. Actually, the Rishonim explain that it's not just that you're potter because it's a mlochash and a tzricha legufa, it's also potter because it's ein b'minoy nitzod. Tosfos the very maskal at Soda is coming to teach us that what we need to do is as follows. That by other shrotzim, only when you intend to capture them, l'tzoyrucha yichayiv. But let's say you stam capture them, that's considered shloy l'tzoyruch, and you potter. By the shmeina shrotzim, it's not like that. If I know that it was shloy l'tzoyruch, then you're always going to be potter, even by the shmeina shrotzim. If I don't know what your purpose was, if it's stoma, you're going to be chayiv. Chayiv oisha b'rishusay. You have animals and birds that are in your property, and they always come home every night. That's how the Gemara Masech the Beya explains, that even if they go out every night, they come home every... Even if they go out during the day, they come home every night. Hatzadon, so when you close the door, it's not a Maisa Tzeda, and therefore you're potter. But if you wound them, you're chayiv. There's actually an interesting machloikus the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah. The Shulchan Aruch in Simon Shin Tazayin Sif Yud Bey says, Muta lotzot chai v'oysha b'shusay, and a bird or animal that's under your control, you're allowed to capture, because, and potter means muta l'chatchila, because it's not considered a maisat seida at all. The Ramah, however, says that it's only potter aval osur, an animal that comes home every night. So it's not a maisat seida midaraisa because you're not really accomplishing that much, but it is considered a maisat seida midrabonim. And the Bria Halacha says, according to this, let's say somebody has a chicken coop where during the day the chickens are out in the yard and every night the chickens go back by themselves into their chicken coop. Says the Bria Halacha that according to the Ramah, you would not be allowed to close that chicken coop at night because even though they're coming back by themselves, the Ramah still holds that it's potter aval osur. Says the Gemara, Midiktani, from the fact that the Mishnah says that the Shmanish Rutz, by the Shmanish Rotzim, if you are chayvah behem, if you wound them, you chayiv, Mechlal this lay or. As we explain, and to be chayiv for chavola, unless the blood actually exited the insect or the animal, to be chayiv for chavola, it has to be something that has skin, that gets a black and blue mark or a different type of mark. That's when it's considered that you did netilas neshama. That's when you chayiv the melacha. So if our Mishnah said that if you made a chavola by the shmoyne shrotzim, you chayiv, it must be that the opinion of our Mishnah is that the shmoyne shrotzim have or. Says the Gemara Man Tana, who is the Tana that holds that the shmoyne shrotzim all have an R, says the Gemara Amar of Shmuel, Lama Shmuel, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. It represents the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Tanan, because there's a Mishnah Masechta Chulin, Daf Kuf Chof Beis Amar Aleph. Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Omer, Shmoyne Shrotzim, all Shmoyne Shrotzim that are mentioned in the Torah, Yeshlem Iris, are insects that have an R, and since they're all considered insects that have an R, they are subject to the halacha of Chavola. Whereas the Rabbanon do not consider all Shmoneh Shrotzim to have or. Why? Because the Torah in Parashat Shmini, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chof Tes, says, V'zelochem hatomei b'sheretz, ha'sheretz al oretz, ha'choylet v'achba v'atzov limineu. The Torah speaks about those shrotzim, and then the Torah continues, v'anoka v'akoyach v'altoa v'achoyme v'tenshomis, that's Pasuk Lamed, and then the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, Elo hatameim lechem. The Torah says, Elo hatameim lechem. The Pasuk by saying, Elo hatameim, which by saying the word Elo, says that only these, to say that only some of the Shrotzim have this din, not all of the Shrotzim. So we learn from here that, say the Rabbanim, that the Shrotzim who are mentioned in the previous Pasuk are the ones that the Torah says that the or that they have or, and therefore the, versus the shrotzim in the previous pasuk and pasuk chav tes, which are separated with the word leminehu, don't have or. So that means, if the skin is separated from the basar, the halacha will be that the basar is considered the sheretz and the or is not considered sheretz. If it doesn't have or, that everything is considered sheretz. So according to this, the ones that are listed in Pasuk Lamed are Tvei Tuma, even through the skin, whereas those that are listed in Pasuk Chav Tes don't give off the skin, the or doesn't give off Tuma. So again, according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, all of them, the skin is separated from the flesh by all eight shrotzim. Whereas according to Rabbanon, there's a difference between the shrotzim that are mentioned in Pasuk Chav Tes and the Pasuk Psukim and those that are mentioned in Pasuk Lamed. Though the ones that are mentioned in Pasuk Lamed give off Tumah, not just the Basar, but even the Or, the one in Chav Tes not. So our Mishnah that treats all Shmoneh Shrotzim the same way seems to be the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that didn't differentiate between the Shrotzim and Pasuk Chav Tes and the Shrotzim and Pasuk Lamed. Says the Gemara, Rabbi Barhuna Amar Rav Afilu Tem Rabbonin. No, our Mishnah could even represent the opinion of the Rabbonin. Because at Kamoi Pliga Lari Elan and Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, the Rabbonin disagree with Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Elinyan Tumah. Regarding Tumah, as we just read, the Ksiv, because the Pasuk Lamed Aleph that we read says, Ela Tameim Bechem, Rabbi Sher is saying Kibisaron, that the ones that are listed in Pasuk Lamed, they have the stin that the Or and the Basar are the same. Avlin in Shabbos, when we speak regarding Hilchos Shabbos, I feel a Rabbanan Maidu that all eight of the Shrotzim are considered to have Or, and therefore if somebody's Chayvel in the Shrotzim, it's considered he did a Maisa Chavala. Ask the Gemara, V'lin Shabbos like Pligi, is it possible to say that the Machloikus of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and Rabbanon is strictly limited to Hilchos Tumah, but not to Hilchos Shabbos? Ask the Gemara, V'tanya, the Brisa says, Hatzot Echem Shmoni Shrotzim Amurim B'Torah, if somebody does say the one of the Shmoni Shrotzim, or HaChoyv Behen, if somebody does Chavolo on one of the Shmoni Shrotzim, he's Chayiv. Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. The Chum say, Ein or Elamah Shemanu Chachamim. The only the ones that are listed in the Mishnah that in Masechta Chulin Daf Kof Chabeis, only those that are listed in Pasuk Lamed, those are the ones that are considered to have an or. Ask the Gemara immediately. That's just the opposite of what we just said. Adiraba, Lamah Shemanu Chachamim, the ones that are listed in Pasuk Lamed are those that ain lahem or, that don't are not considered that they have a distinct or. And that's why even the or is metama. So in order to answer the Braisa, Amrabaya, in order for us to be able to understand the Braisa, Hachkamer, we have to understand the Braisa as follows. Ain or cholok l'basar, the or and the basar are separated, don't have the same din, elaman shaloi manu chamim, only to the ones that are not mentioned by the chachamim. That means the ones that are listed in the in Pasuk Lamed, the chalad v'achba v'tzov and t'shamis, there oyrim eimetamim kumsarim, because since they have an or, just, and therefore you do chavol on them, you chayiv on Shabbos. The ones that are mentioned by the Chachamim in the Mishnah, the ones that, those are pasuk chof, tes. The ones that are mentioned in the Mishnah, in the Masechet Chulin, the ones that are mentioned in pasuk lamed, there, oyre metamim kibasorim. Why? Because they don't have or, and since they don't have or, there is no maisa chavola. But according to this, what is the Braisa teaching us? That according to the Rabbanon, the reason the shrotzim that are mentioned in Pasuk Lamed, the or is metama, is because they're not considered to have or. So why does Rav say that the Rabbanon will agree that if you do it chavola in one of these shrotzim, you'll be chayiv on Shabbos, if according to the Rabbanon, these shrotzim don't have or? Amalei Rava, says Rava, halamash shabman chacham kamar. The way the Rishonim explained this is as follows. Yes, it's common in Shas to find that brises are amended. But to take a brisa that says mash manuchachamim and say mash loyman, it means lamash loymanu, that is a stretch. Ela Marava, so that's not the way to understand the Braisa. Ela Marava, Hachikama, this is the way to understand the Braisa. And the way to understand the Braisa is a new way of understanding Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri. That only regarding Hilchas Shabbos does Rabbi Yochanan hold that all Shemayna Shrotzim have or. But regarding Hilchas Tuma, he learns from the Pasuk that all of them are the same metamek besarim, that all shrotzim don't have skin. And Acham say, ain't all metamek el mash lamanu chachamim, only the ones that are mentioned in Pasuk Lamed. So now we have a whole new understanding, according to Rava, of the machlokes Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan. According to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, by all shrotzim, the skin gives off tuma. Just the opposite of what we just learned before, that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, they be all shrotzim, the or is considered separate and doesn't give off tuma. And the machloik and Rabbanan say that no, that there are only certain shrotzim, the ones listed in Pasuk Lamed, where the or gives off basar. Mechlal, so according to this understanding, the Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, hanech nami deloy man chachamim, even the ones that are not in Pasuk Lamed, metamim, the or is metamek the basar. V'ktani, how can we learn that way in Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? How could Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri say that? How could you say that Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion is that by all shrotzim the or gives off tuma? It says in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Oimer Shmoni Shrotzim Yesh Lo in Aris. That Mishnah in Masechet Chulin Daf Kuf Chabez Amin Aleph teaches us explicitly that according to Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, all Shmoni Shrotzim have or. And loy matamim, they don't give off tuma. So that can't be pshat. So we're back to where we started. How can we say, how do we understand the statement of Rav that seems to say that the Rabbanan agree that by Shabbos they all have or? Amar Rav Adba Masna, Tritzachti. This is the way to understand the Braisa. The Chama Amrim, Linyan tuma, when we speak to tuma, ain't or l'masha man chachamim. What Chazal point out, they don't have or to what Chazal pointed out, those that are listed in Pasuk Lamed. But when we speak regarding Hilchas Shabbos, everybody agrees all Shmoni Shrotzim have or. Ask the Gemara, Vakati Lein Shabbos Loi Pligi, are you still sticking to your point that regarding Hilchas Shabbos, everybody agrees that all Shmoni Shrotzim have or? Vatanya, the Braisa says, Hatzot Echem Shmoni Shrotzim Amurim B'Torah, when is that apply? Bishrotzim sheishlam oiris. Only bishrotzim that have or. Veizi chabura, and continues the Braisa to teach us what is the definition of a chabura? Sheina chayzeris. When it doesn't come back, nitzra adam, if it has a wound where the blood collects under the skin, abishloyotz, even though it didn't come out. Rav Yochanan ben Nuri, I'm a Shmoni Shrotzim Yesh Lei Oris. All Shmoni Shrotzim have or, and therefore if you do Chabola in any of the Shmoni Shrotzim on Shabbos, you'll be Chayiv. But it clearly says that that's only Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri's opinion, not the opinion of the Rabbanan. How could Rav say that the Rabbanon agree by all Shmoneh Shrotzim that there is Chavola on Shabbos? Answers the Gemara, Amar Vashim, Man Tanakama. Who is the Tanakama of that Brisa? It's not the Rabbanon. For the Rabbanon hold that also by all Shmoneh Shrotzim, Yechayiv Chavola on Shabbos. The Tanakama who differentiates within the Shmoneh Shrotzim is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that Ozel Basa Gishta. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that you follow the actual thickness of the skin. The Tanan, as the Mishnah there in Masech Techulin teaches us, Rabbi Yehuda Ima, Halta Kachuda. The Halta is one of the Shrotzim, is treated like the Choylet. Av Rabbanan, Rabbanan, the Pligalei, the Rabbi Yochanan, Lin Yatoma. Rabbanan, even though they disagree with Rabbi Yochanan regarding Hichas Tomba, Lin Yashabas Maidalei, they agree. Says the Gemara, so if Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanan both agree that by all Shmoneh Shrotzim there's an Isser Chavola on Shabbos, so why when the Braisa wanted to teach us that there's a din of Chavola and by all Shmoneh Shrotzim, did it only say that it's the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? Hi divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri, why did the Braisa say that this is the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri? What it should have said was divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben that it represents the opinion of Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and also the Rabbanon who argue with him. And says the Gemara, indeed, Tani, that's the way we should learn the Braisa, Divrei Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri Machlokasu Bayalei. That indeed is what the Braisa meant to teach us, that both Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri and the Rabbanon agree that there's a Chavola by all Shmoneh Shrotzim. Bominei Levi Merebi, Menayel Chabur Shein Chazars. How do we know that the definition of a chabura means that it's something which is irreversible? How do we know that that's the definition of chabura? Diksiv, because the pasuk says in Yirmiyo, "Hayuhafech kushi oira v'namer chabar barosav." Can a kushit change his skin, and can a leper change his chaburas? My chaburas. What is meant when the pasuk says chabar barosav? Ilayim dekoy rikmi rikmi. If it means to say that the leopard skin has patches, hay v'namer chabar barosav. That can't be what the Torah says when the pasuk says "Hayuhafech kushi oira." It should have said its colors. Ella, what the pasuk is trying to teach us is how do we understand a chabura? The pasuk is coming to teach us that just like a kushi can't change its skin from black to white, the Navi is telling Klal Yisrael, you're so forlorn that you can't do tshuva. But the pasuk is comparing a chabura to the skin of a kushi. Ma oir the kushi. We know the skin of a black person will always remain black. Ein chazeres af chabura. So too a chabura ein chazeres can never go back and will always remain a chabura. And that's the definition. If the wound is such a wound where it will never come back, that's when it's considered chabura. Otherwise, not. We learned the Mishnah shka shkotzim, but by other shkotzim, if you do chavolam, you potter. Hahargon, but if you would kill them, you would be chayiv. Man Tana, who is the Tana that holds that if you kill anything, you chayiv? Amar Rabbi Yemi Rabbi Lezahi, the Tana Rabbi Lezahi, Oima Ha'hoira Kina B'Shabbos, that if somebody even kills a louse on Shabbos, Ka'hoira Gomel B'Shabbos. It's no different if you killed a huge camel on Shabbos and you chayiv. The Rabbanon hold that if you kill a kina on Shabbos, you potter, and so too, you will be potter on these shrotzim. Why? Because these shrotzim don't survive, and therefore, they're not considered as if they did a Maisa Hariga. Maskel Rav Yosef, at kan le pliga le rabbanan le Rabbi Elazar, says the Gemara, the machloikus rabbanan Rabbi Elazar is only by kina. Only by kina, if there's a Maisa Hariga. They in a paramarava. They believe that insects, these kinim, don't come from normal multiplication, from normal procreation. They came from developed by Ashba. Avashash gots and Roshim, all other insects, the paramarava like pligi. Everybody agrees that there's a Maisa Hariga. Because they learn it from the Elam. Where did we have a Maisa Hariga in the base of Mikdash? But the Elam Mudomim. Rabbi Elazar Sovek Elim. In order to be chayif for Hariga, it has to be like the Elim. Ma Elim Shesh Bem Natils Neshama, Af Kol Shesh Bem Natils Neshama. And anything that has life, there's a Maisa Hariga. Rabbanan Savri Ke Elim. Ma Elim the Parm Verovim, Af Kol the Parm Verovim. It has to reproduce. And since the kingdom don't normally reproduce, there's no Maisa Hariga. But in something that reproduces, there's all, everybody's going to agree that there is Hariga. Ask the Gemara, Amalei Abaya, how could you say that the kina ain't a par of a rova? And that's why the Rabbanan say that there's no melocha of Hariga by kina on Shabbos. V'amamah Yosh v'HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'zon, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sustains everything that he created, mikarnei re'eim v'abein kinim. So we see that there are eggs by lice. What are you saying? The lice don't reproduce the normal way. Answers the Gemara, Minu hu de mikri bei kinim. There is a min called bei kinim, but it doesn't mean that kinim are produced from eggs. But Tanya, but there's another brisa that says tfuye u bei kinim. Again, doesn't it mean that there's something called bei kinim, that there's bei kinim that produce the kinim, the eggs produce the bei kinim? And what's the question, as the Sefer Chodesh Aviv explains, that we already answered, and we're going to answer, the bei kinim are the type of an insect. It doesn't mean that they're eggs. So the Chodesh Aviv says, the fact that the Gemara puts the bei kinim together with the tfuye seems to indicate that just like there's something called a tfuye, there's something called bei kinim. And they give like that, that just like the tfuye comes from eggs, so do the kinim come from the eggs? Says the Gemara, no. Minehu de ikra bei kinim. So it's a very obviously important discussion here. We know, it's been scientifically proven, that every insect, even the lice, come from eggs. So how could the Gemara say that the kinim don't come from eggs, they come naturally out of dirt? And the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, based on this question, indeed says that now that we've scientifically been able to prove that that lice come from eggs, everybody would agree, the Rabbanim would agree as well, there's a chiyuv for Hariga on them on Shabbos. Most Rishonim and Achronim disagree. The Shulchan Aruch paskins that there is no Maisa Hariga on Kinim, and we are not allowed to, even if we don't understand what Chazal are teaching us, the Halacha remains the way the Halacha is, even if we don't necessarily understand it. I did see that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach Zatzal says that even Chazal recognized that kinim, even lice, come from eggs. But since they're so, so tiny when they're created, the halacha does not recognize anything we don't see. And since at the point of creation, they're so very small, so they're not visible, something that's not visible is not considered in halacha as if it existed. Ask the Gemara, very parish. A fly, the parvarova, which reproduces, the Tanya, and the Brisa teaches us, had sought parish b'Shabbos, Rav Elazar Mechayev, Rav Yeshua Poiter. Rav Yeshua says that there's no chiyuv for killing a creature that even though it reproduces. Omer, Rav Ashi, Tzeda Hariga Karamas, you're asking a question between the Malach of Tzeda and the Malach of Hariga. At Kan Loi Pligi Rav Elazar Yeshua, a machloket between Rav Elazar Yeshua as the Masover, Rav Elazar holds, Dovish Ein Ben Nitzah Tchayiv, somebody traps something which is normally not caught, is still considered Tzeda, or Masover, whereas Rav Yeshua holds that it's not Tzeda. Avlin and Harega, but when it comes to Hariga, I feel Rabbi Shua Moida that even though it's something that's Ein B'mina Nitzad, it's still considered Hariga. Hatzad and Lutzairach, if somebody captures anything that was mentioned in the Mishnah for purpose, he needs this animal, he's Chayiv. Man Tana, says the Gemara Amr Yudah Merav, who's the Tana of our Mishnah? Rabbi Shimon represents the opinion of Shimon, Dama Meloch Shein Tzrich L'Gufa Pot Aleh. So here, since it's according to Rabbi Shimon, you're not chai for trapping a sheris unless you need it. If you're only trapping it because you don't want it to be there to harm you, that's a moch shen tzricha de gufa. Ikad masan laha. But others learn this regarding the following Mishnah. We spoke about the beginning of our shir. Hamapis mursa b'Shabbos. If somebody opens up a pus bubble on Shabbos, imlasis lepeh, if he wants to make an opening, he's chayiv. If only his loitzim and alech, but his entire purpose is just to remove the pus, he's potter. Man tana, who's the tana that says you're potter? Am Yehuda Merav, Rav Shimon hi, damim lochshe and sricha gufo potter la. Vika de masin la ha. Another halacha that we learned at the beginning of our shir. Hatzad nach b'Shabbos. If you capture a snake in Shabbos, imis asik b'shalei shechana, if your purpose is that it shouldn't bite you, potter. Im refuah, but if you're capturing it because you want it for refuah, so then you want the steak, then you want the snake, and you chayiv. Man tana, that if you're not capturing it because you want the snake, am Rav Yehuda ben Rav, Rav Shimon hi, dam alach she'en tzrichel gufa potter la. Am Shmuel, hashoy l'dagim min hayam, if somebody takes a fish out of the sea, kivin shiyavish b'kasela, if it comes dry on the spot, the size of a cellar, yichayiv for hariga. And all the Rishonim explain, we're talking about a fish that was already caught. So the subject of discussion here is the subject of hariga, not seder. Amar Yosber oven, where does it have to get so dry? Bein sapirov, between the fins. Amar Vashi, loy tem yavish mamish, it doesn't have to become actually dry. Ela feel the oved riri, even if it forms drops of slime when somebody touches it, it's still considered dry. If the surface of the fish becomes sticky, the halacha is that it's considered a maisa harika.